Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Man from Osirian, Mummy's Mask, Episode 5. Now, it's been a while since we recorded, and we do appreciate your patronage and being patient, and we are trying to get our schedules together to make this a more consistent show. Because I'm telling you, I created Rollmongers not as a network, but as a single podcast to play Mummy's Mask, and I've dug deep into my pockets of friends and associates for people that actually love an Indiana Jones type setting, and we are going to tough it out to the bitter end. So, when last we left, a trail of nanites was making its way across the infirmary floor. Now, being microscopic, this is quite a journey, so you gotta give what's gonna happen there some time. The scene shifts to another room in the infirmary, where an old Kalashite scholar and cleric of Pharasma, goddess of fate and death, attends a young Suli who has become really, really ill and retched to the point of passing out. A health check from Old Man Arif.
Alrighty.
We had left you at his bedside, tending to him personally, wrestling with your conscience of the fact of something that you know, something that had occurred 7 to 9 years ago when Pharaoh Kemet III first opened the borders of Osirian and allowed adventurers to descend upon the Hollow, a extra-dimensional space which entombed the four pharaohs of Ascension. They returned with stories of horror, which led you personally at a later date to investigate with the Pathfinder Society a duchess from the nation of Cheliax that took an entire troop of slaves, guards, tents, supplies, wagons to a huge pyramid dig site and began excavating a few years later another pyramid that was supposedly sacred to the four pharaohs of Ascension. She sought the Pact Stone, but that is another story. I will tell you three things, ladies and gentlemen. One, in a way, the Pact Stone was found. And two, Old Man Arif knows of it. And three, his fate had become tied to it. And now, years later, thinking he had escaped said fate, or that it would play out into his gentle years, where he could spend them in study and devotion to Pharasma, perhaps buying him time, a longer lifespan. The old man now has evidence through visions that Pharasma will not let the proverbial sleeping dogs lie. And you sense, no, you are certain that this young man before you is tied up in that fate. A health check of 24 tells you that a fever has engulfed the young man. He becomes conscious several times, but in delirium. He lost a lot of fluid through vomiting, and now a fever takes him. He is beyond warm to the touch, and twice his arms, because of his Suli nature, have become hot to the touch. And unfortunately, you had to remove any metal objects in the vicinity because actual electrical discharges began occurring between this man's forearms and any metal that was brought near him. Obviously, the clerics of Pharasma are going, sure, you can be your problem. Rather dangerous to be around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's most unusual. Normally, a ravaging illness doesn't take this kind of manifestation on the Sulus, although I'm not overly familiar with them. I mean, I do have a passing knowledge of most things. Unusual.
The best you can do is tend the fever and hope the young man pulls through. He needs rest. He needs time. He needs fluids. Now, we don't have IVs. We're not that type of hospital. However, sitting him up when he deliriously comes awake and trying possibly forcing him to drink, he does get some down and spit a bunch back up, but you are doing what you can.
Yes, yes. You there, Acolyte, draw a cold bath. We'll try immersion. That may ease the temperatures. Yes. And I'll just kind of move around and administrate as I can to try to, you know, make things a little bit better for him.
Okay.
The scene, you know, applying healing magics as appropriate.
Yep. Treating disease is beyond you, and it's expensive. Not like you're pretty much a broke scholar. It's expensive just to like shell out that kind of coin for a stranger. But like I said, at the moment you're doing what you can, and the main focus of all healing supplies is for the fact that this very day, the gates of the necropolis have opened to a plethora of adventurers, and they are going to come out wounded and with gold that, you know, technically might belong to the Pharaoh or the people, and start spending it. So for right now, all you can do is tend and wait. The scene draws back out of the Grand Mausoleum, which is the Temple of Pharasma, containing said infirmary, and time passes. The sun sets. The scene shifts over to a different part of Wati and descends down upon a tavern known as the Whispering Stone. Its patron, a lovely woman in her mid-30s, some rumor her to be a witch. The establishment gets its name because it is literally built around a gigantic statue of some forgotten wizard or pharaoh, and the shoulders and head stick out of the ground, and this monumental statue is the size of like a living room. Massive, massive statue. Cut off right at the lips. No head, no nose, no eyes. And she has literally built a tavern table bar around it and an entire establishment, and it is considered good luck to go up and kiss and whisper to this stone your problems, your woes, your wishes. Now, whether this is a hoax and someone is capitalizing on some old forgotten named statue, or this is actually true, no one has seemed to be able to prove. It is here that a druid, a cougar, and a sylph have decided to meet up and discuss their options in forming a new party. Fafal, registered under the Night Whispers, has lost several party members, two to illness and one to a clerical error. The Drow Paladin of Pharasma has yet to show herself, a bit of a predicament. The Druid, Kata, the Elf, and her companion Roxy the Cougar have become a little disillusioned or probably unhappy with the actions of her party of late, and the two sit now discussing what to do next.
Well, my dear, we are really in a predicament, aren't we? I mean, I've lost my party to sickness, oddness, and, well, I'm not exactly sure what happened to the paladin. Possible error in team assignments or rage, I really do not know. And it seems as if your team has told you to fuck off.
I believe the word you're looking for is fook. It's dwarven.
Ah, fook off. Sorry, my dwarvish isn't so good anymore. It's been a while since I practiced, but...
Yeah, I'd have to say we are in quite the predicament, but, you know, I think perhaps our fortune has changed. Maybe things have put us together for a reason. I stare longingly at this, you know, person that seems interesting to me.
Yeah, it's slide the hand across the table, you know, with the fingertips, give him a little... No?
Well, you know, being a druid, I typically prefer to be a loner, but something about this stranger seems to draw me to him.
Yes. One Tet Black Blossom, a human, has been amusing herself by serving you guys personally amongst her staff. Perhaps the fact that you're with a young, interesting-looking blue-skinned man. Perhaps the fact that she came over and said, hey, you can't bring that creature in here. And you assured her that she is of the best, you know, well-behaved type of thing.
Hoping rumor of events earlier have not spread.
Yeah, and commanding Roxy to, like, sit, smile, you know, look a paw type of thing.
Don't smile that much, though.
Showing teeth. Like I said, the looming chin and pair of lips atop this 7-foot-tall neck, which dominates the center of the bar, giving the Whispering Stone its name, lives up to its name because every once in a while, a patron, some people just come in the door and wave at her and go over and whisper something at it and just walk out. Leave a copper on it for her trouble. Use the bathroom, you know, that type of thing. Get a quick coffee.
So interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, what...
Tell me, miss, I'm sorry, I've already forgotten your name. I'm bad for names, but what is happening here? What is with this?
Oh, you can call me Tet, darling.
Tet. Oh, thank you. I'm Kaida. It's great to make your acquaintance.
Yes. So you are some of the first to emerge this evening. Rough night?
You could say it was an unexpected evening.
It wasn't even an evening. We had a falling out with our parties.
And I shoot him a look.
A commonality.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yes. Well, I suppose you could try re-registering, and, you know, there's bound to be incidents and injury. It is the necropolis. I don't want to wish ill on anyone, but she says it is very likely that others very soon will find themselves in your predicament, sugar. Now, if you excuse me. Anyway, she leaves your drinks and gives you a wink and, you know, cheer up. People will die and need friends. And she goes back, leaving the two of you. The evening begins to drone on. There are some interesting characters. In a corner, a table of one, two, then four. It is a custom for people to wear light but completely covering clothing in this land. The both of you know. Some stylish, some wrap up their necks. Some, a lot of people wear veils. Some, it's rare, but not sort of drawing too much attention, they wear masks. Four men wearing golden masks with the tightly braided pointed chin beard that ends in a nib, painted long eyebrows, eye slits where they can actually look out, but the mouth is actually covered, maybe a slight breathing hole. Only their eyes are exposed, completely covering their faces. Lean in and talk through the masks in low voices. Other patrons seem curious, maybe a little leery of them, but they certainly don't seem offended or like this is such a uncommonplace sight. If anything, people are curious. They wave away anyone other than themselves for discussion, offers of drinks, and questions. This, you guys notice.
Well, that doesn't dissuade Pafal. Pafal is first going to go up to the barkeep, ask for a round of five drinks.
Okay.
The finest... Oh, please get me five of the finest alcoholic beverages you have here, please, my dear.
Okay. So Kaida, the sylph bails on you. I mean, so much of an excuse me.
Well, no, I feel like at a lull in the conversation, I've been watching you guys as well. I'm very observant of my surroundings. Realize these guys are a little odd. I'm curious what's going on.
Okay.
I want an in.
Okay. So do you tell her what you're doing, or you just kind of drift off?
Nah, just. I'll be back in a moment, my dear.
Okay.
I want to figure something out. I want to go test something.
Okay.
I'm naive enough to think he's looking into possibly a new party.
Yeah.
For us, and not just for him.
Yes, yes. I mean, find people weirder than yourselves. They're bound to hire us on, right? This is Druid 101 in the city. No problem. He's got this.
Blend in as much as you can, like, you know, okay. Stone against the sand.
So from Kaida's point of view, to see him drift over there with a tray of drinks, you know, do his affluent gestures and see four stoic masks just kind of turn and look at him. It's very interesting to observe from a distance. But you see him dig in there, scoot someone over, you know, lay down the drinks, you know, and just start talking to them. They just sort of stare at him.
Like,
yeah. He just kind of, you don't know if they're like accepting him or not. They don't touch the drinks. They just look at him and he just goes on and on, starts talking, drinking, smiling, you know, spends a good 20 minutes with them or whatever. And then just kind of gets up and finger guns them and heads back to you. How'd you do, Fafal?
Oh, well, you know, they were a lot harder to, you know, get things out of than you'd expect. You know, most of the time when I'm talking to people, they open up, you know, but
he's fall a very to your charms.
Yeah. Well, you do notice while he's standing there, his back to them, he can't see them. You know, you do see one kind of look down curiously at the mug and pick it up and like lift his mask like he's going to drink it. And another one immediately smacks his hand across the table and he puts it down. You see the shoulders slump like, okay. Anyway, ladies, gentlemen, the evening wears on. You do have refreshments. You guys ponder your predicament. You know, Roxy enjoys meat scraps. People come and go. The quartet of masks do leave. And when it gets time to, you know, turn in, do you guys have rooms anywhere?
Yes. I do have a room at a semi-nearby inn. I'm sure we can negotiate with the innkeeper and see if we can get you another room.
The Tooth and Hookah? Was it the Tooth and Hookah you guys had mulled through the first time, or...?
I don't know. Was the Tooth and Hookah just a bar?
It was.
Or was that also an inn?
Yeah, I think you kind of jumped up at the end in the line, and then we all kind of like headed off. You went off drinking somewhere with Vex, and I think it was the Tooth and Hookah, or just a generic, you know, wherever you guys could play. You guys went down to the poorest part of town, the Asp District, to get cheap drinks, and Vex knows that part of town well, so, you know, the hoodlums kind of left you guys alone. He knows... you know, he knows the streetwise of it. Came back, and he's, you guys reeked of alcohol and met your new friend. And, you know, then defaced the monument and pissed off a paladin. Maybe that's why she's not back, because your party member literally chewed up the back of the spire, right? Luckily, a kindly old man, also from the faith, came forward and is attending your party. And great, you know, don't even know if they're going to charge you for it. So anyway, bidding the druid goodnight, or helping, you know, deking out, you are back on the street for fall alone, making your way back to the Tooth of Hookah. And not even an alley two away, one of these hooded, dark, wrapped, cloaked figures in a gold mask just sort of leans out and looks at you with interest, and then sort of turns and heads into the alley. Can I have a knowledge local check?
Oh, okay. A 24.
24. Being your vocation, not a sylph, not a warrior, not a paladin going, they fear me, you know, get back, they clear the streets for me. Being a slayer, basically an offer was just made. Follow me, private conversation. They're signaling you. Very subtle, but, you know, standing out and getting your attention like that and then just drifting off. They want to have a back alley conversation. Now, you know there were four of them. You only see one at this time.
Yeah, I'll go in with a wary eye, you know, make sure I'm not followed or anything.
Okay.
But I'll enter the alley.
Okay.
And see what they have to say.
Come in. You see the guy proverbially at the end. Again, stop. Turn his head slightly towards you so you can kind of see the front of the mask. And then he kind of deeks around a corner. Can I have a perception check, please?
2.
You don't seem to think like anyone's closing in or jumping you. The alley remains unremarkable. You know, the night is cool. The stars and moon are out, casting heavy shadows amongst the tall mud brick buildings. Little awnings stick out. The alley smells, as you'd expect, of straw, dung, and refuse. You know, there's some passed out drunks in corners. You descend further into the alley?
Of course.
A short game of cat and mouse, a couple of turns, but still staying within the proverbial block radius, making sure you're not followed, perhaps they are, perhaps they just want something utterly private. But finally, this guy leads you to the three others, and they beckon you openly, with gloved hands.
All at the same time, in a creepy cult-like fashion?
Yeah. Like, they're totally getting their shoop on, walking like Egyptians. No, no, just just one guy, you know, come here!
Okay. Look, if they're all doing the same come hither at the exact same time, exact same way, then football's ducking out. But if this one dude is like, all right, get your ass over here, yeah, football will stroll over.
Okay.
Gentlemen, can I help you?
We require information.
The others nod.
Are you the one known as the Death Wind?
Calling upon your alias for contract killing.
Well, my gentlemen, if I were such a terribly roguish and devilishly handsome man, I don't know if I would agree to such a name, but I wouldn't decline such a name as either.
What you're, do you no more, you're no moron. You have different aliases in different towns, and they're usually given to you as opposed to, you know, you come up with a great evil superhero name yourself. Yeah. It's like, it's almost ironically badly comical that they put wind in your name and death for a slayer, but...
Yeah, as a sylph, you know, yeah. But it's, you know... You don't choose the names, the names choose you. So.
Yeah, and or on the spur of the moment, you just make something up and it, you know, it sticks. Anyway, it is something that you have used, and it is something that you did use on Osirian soil. So that tells you two things. These cultists are probably not foreigners, or they are foreigners and they've asked around for, you know, a slayer and, you know, someone, a cheap slayer, a low level, practically an unknown, you know.
Yeah.
You are not some famous high-paid assassin. Yet.
Yet.
Yeah. Perhaps they're looking for a patsy. Perhaps they're just looking for a quick, easy job because they're coming to someone like you. Anyway, the name stands if you want to admit to it, possibly take on a job. I mean, your party's shit. The druid is out of ideas.
I mean, there's always reapply, but I mean, you never know how long that takes, you know. Government workers, you know, it just really takes forever.
Anyway, forcing your hand, maybe disagreeing that you have no idea what they're talking about is a bad idea, because two of the four of them, you see the gloved hands strayed to the Jumbian dagger on their belt.
Yes. Relax, my good gentleman. Yes, I am who you seek. I go by the alias Deathwind. What are you interested in? You said information.
Your companions, they seem close to you?
The head kind of nods like a question, like, how well do you know these guys? The girls? The girl?
The druid and the cat.
They nod.
We met each other today. I'm not very familiar with them.
Would you be opposed to taking a single night's work, a single contract, a single life?
No, of course not. If the pay is good enough.
Can I have a wisdom check? Even perception would work.
They're both going to be a flat d20, so sure. 4.
Okay. You're not sure what he's getting at. I mean, they asked you if you knew the druid. Now they're just saying, we want you to kill somebody tonight.
Yeah.
Not sure where he's going with this. What do you do?
Well, yes, of course. If the pay's right, I'm willing to take a mark. But who's the target? You know, what needs to be done? Is this a just standard kill mission, or does this need to look like an accident?
He looks around. There's no one here. Maybe they're just paranoid, but he looks around as if the walls could hear type of thing, leans in and beckons you to come really close.
I'll lean in.
Okay. He literally places the sort of chin whisper where he like leans past you to whisper in your ear. Anyway, Hearing his voice out of the side of the mask actually is a little bit more comfortable and audible, even though this creepy guy all wrapped up in dark clothes, gloves, and a mask.
Not the worst guys I've dealt with.
No. Leans in, offers you an appropriate price in coin for the job, and tells you who the target is. A very unusual target, but considering your current circumstances, not beyond your means. And then he steps back, waiting for your answer if you would agree to this.
For sit there and think, you know, logistically and whatnot. Well, interesting target.
Tonight?
Well, such a rush on the job, I'd prefer half up front, half when the job's done.
Oh. Without hesitation, dude reaches to his pouch, pulls it, and just hands it to you.
I'll pocket it. I'm not going to count that. I trust him.
Okay.
I mean, if they're going to produce it that quickly, well then...
Anyway, he does add something, because the purse looks like it actually might hold more than half.
Oh.
Discreetly, without witness.
And he just kind of shakes the pouch to, you know, confirm to you that there's more than half the payment in there.
Understood, of course. But tonight, discreetly, okay. Okay, I believe I can make it work. Yes, it should be good. Yes, I believe we have a deal.
He nods, places the pouch of coin in your hands, and they just sort of shuffle past you and leave you alone in the alley with your thoughts, plans to make, and the money. There's not a lot of evening left. You've spent a lot of it drinking and schmoozing. I'm not saying it's the wee hours of the morning, but it is definitely late at night.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, I guess the question is, where's the druid?
Well, you did promise her you'd get her a room. She probably thinks you're off to the Tooth and Hookah arranging said room.
That's very true.
Does backup in this mission interest you? Paying some patsy or lackey just to help you do something and then, you know, pay them a fraction, but extra hands, all that. Perhaps that's what you have in mind for someone or the druid?
No. Okay. I will stop at two places first.
Okay.
I'll be stopping at an alchemist.
Yep.
And a general store that would contain food for all different types.
Okay. This cuts heavily into your money, but lucky for you, half up front, cover costs and, you know, such. Yep. It's a big dent in it, but it's a rush job, and at least you get the other half or, you know, what's left of 40%. So they are willing to pay a pretty penny. Like I said, they pay you according to your name, your class, your level, and the target. But at that last minute, they rushed it. They paid you more without hesitation. It tells you that they really want this job done. It makes you wonder why they want to take this life so badly. It's definitely a weird job, but, you know, less you know, the safer you are for the next. Slipping into the night. Knowledge local. Apothecaries. Kata, you are safer indoors. You wait. He has had to go clear across town to, you know, secure lodgings, and Roxy and you are quite happy drinking, watering type of thing. There are regulars that come and sit and entertain you and ask you questions. And, you know, apparently an elf is a very rare sight here. It's not unheard of, but they are used to the elves that come from the Miyagi Expanse with a different skin tone as yourself. They are not used to elves that have come from across the inner sea, forests as opposed to jungles. So some are curious. They're also curious about what they believe is your sand cat. And you have to inform them, no, this is a mountain lion known as a cougar. Might resemble your sand cat creature, but no, it doesn't do that or that. No, it doesn't do that. And no, I'm not. No.
Yes, you don't.
You even get, to put it politely, someone offers to buy you for a marriage, mistaking that a woman that is unveiled must obviously be for sale, and seeks to know, you know, tell your master, mistaking the blueskin man, that when he returns, I'm interested in making an offer on your person type of thing. Roxy growls.
My master, that's funny.
But they don't mince words with you, the product, as it were. Very insulting, and they go on their way. Good thing you just leave. And this is how your night, you know, goes into the wee hours, until finally Fafal returns. But I would like to take the scene back to old man Arif with some more healing checks, staying by the boy's side through the night, treating a disease in first edition through health.
Okay, let me make the roll real quick. Got an 18 plus 9 is a 27.
Oh, that's awesome.
Swimmingly.
Yes. Immersion. Although he tends to electrocute the water a little bit, zap, ow. But not so much as dangerous, it's just annoying. Bring his temperature down, keep it down, use some old school tricks, or new medicine as far as, you know, these people are concerned. The acolytes draw cool water from the river, or to a point where just like, fuck it, you guys like put him on a gurney and like take him to the river, immerse him a little bit, zap, ow, zap, ow. But you do manage finally to bring his fever down, and it finally breaks in the wee hours of the morning. Success. You have saved a life. The worst is over. Now he's probably going to throw it away in the necropolis for fame and gold. But, I mean, you know, that's... If such is his fate, if that is...
Kind of dab the cool cloth across him. Now is not the time that Pharasma calls you. You know, and then do a bit more administrations. I see that as he's getting better and better.
You check his... You check your little book there. He's scheduled to die maybe Tuesday.
Yep.
Okay. Wee hours of the morning, Fafal re-enters the Whispering Stone. Last call, and they're cleaning up, and people are going to, you know, whatever rooms she has or getting kicked out. And again, hesitant to turn a lone woman out on her ear, Miss Black Blossom is sympathetic as long as you keep, you know, like a tab or bar, like keep paying, you know, the running long funds. But finally, Fafal returns, scans the room, and with a hard swallow, sets his chin and approaches you. Fafal.
My dear, I am deeply sorry that it took so long, but the arrangements took a little bit longer than to be expected, plus travel time. My deepest apologies for that. But there is a room at the Tooth and Hookah for you. I also have a room there. We'll be accompanying each other. But the extra time took for convincing them to allow your pet as well. Your animal setting up those arrangements took a bit longer than expected, but of course is as absolutely necessary as she is your everything, truly. So, shall we be off?
Yes. I'm stand up a little tipsy. Just not used to this kind of ale. And, you know, as I'm standing, I kind of stagger forward and grab his arm and say, I was kind of thinking that you were going to abandon me, you know, after the day I've had losing one party. I was hoping I wasn't going to lose you too. You wouldn't do that to me, right?
I'm not. Oh, of course not, my dear. Of course not. I would never do that.
I appreciate you taking the extra care to make sure that Roxy could lodge with me. I was just going to sleep out back with her. It's much more comfortable to have her around, though. Oh, I haven't slept in a bed in such a long time. It's a rare treat for me, so thank you.
Of course. Of course.
Shall you lead the way? I don't quite know where I'm going.
Of course, yes. It's this way. And so, I will take her by the arm and...
Propping her up, leading her across town, the cat dissuading thieves, you knowing the safest route with some local knowledge, please.
24.
Are you leading them to the Tooth and Hookah, or are you leading them to some place discreet without witness? They have no idea where the Tooth and Hookah is. However, the Tooth and Hookah might, in a bedroom, obviously might be a safer place, though you might be more suspect. An alley would be easier, quicker, less suspect, but far more dangerous for your person if there are unsavory types lurking about. So there are risks in both locations.
I would take her through the more unsavory alleys to get to the Tooth and Hookah.
Okay.
Almost kind of relying on the others, like just the unsavory types to ambush us.
Sure. So
but
you
they're unscathed.
Okay. Plans. All right. Well, it's time to go. Since you're going into encounter land, let's see what random encounters. Oh, you are in luck. Random encounters in the night in Wati. Random encounters in the night. So, what do we know about the back alleys of Wati? Brigands. Unsavory types, he says. Like himself.
I apologize. I didn't mean to roll.
That's okay. Why were you rolling? Knowledge nature? Oh,
I just clicked on my thing.
It's a clear night. The weather's good. You know, you're in an urban environment, so it's not going to help you.
A little tipsy and a little more trusting than usual.
Oh, look, grass! Oh, never mind. That's not grass. What the hell is that? Yeah.
This is amazing.
It's really good stuff. It
smells great.
Well, shouldn't that be off-putting if there's grass in the desert?
There's grass in the desert in small patches. I mean, you can have grass-like plants in the desert.
So, some vagabonds, some bums, you know, some thieves, some people, you know, wringing their hands or whatever. More of an annoyance. Every time something gets close, the ever-aware Roxy the Cougar begins to growl, flatten ears, step out front, and some of the shadows, most of them, not recognizing this thing or just thinking a predatory cat is too much trouble just to get some coins from you guys, you know, back away, and it's just like, darker alleys, you know, darker alleys. Again, cat keeping people at bay. It's like, oh, come on, you know, start jangling your purse. Hello? You know.
The lady over here.
Yeah, beautiful drunk woman, rich self, and yeah, oh geez. Finally, brigands. Awesome. Three of them. Wonderful. You know, step out. One in front, one great big guy, and two skinny dudes. All in their late teens, early 20s. Step out, block your path. They're brandishing crude weapons. Clubs, planks, nails sticking out of wooden objects, a haft bow staff spear sharpened kind of thing. No real metal. They wear, you know, rags, downtrodden, things scrounged, leather-ish armor, that kind of thing. You know, they're dirty and it looks like they probably would spend their money on booze and women right away. And they step out.
Well, what do we have here? It seems the gods smile on us tonight, gentlemen. And you hear a low chuckle from the two skinny guys as they close into your position. I'll take the woman, I think. Merif, the blue boy is yours.
I like boys.
And he's like, starts taking his like sort of makeshift rock dagger and just scraping it down on his palm.
I guess that leaves you the cat, Silk.
And the third guy just kind of grunts like, you're not funny.
I am afraid if you're looking for rooms, we can't accommodate you, but you have ventured into our territory, and there is a tax, I'm afraid.
Well, gentlemen, my deepest apologies. I was not aware of that this was your territory. We were just trying to cut through, you know, save us a little time.
I have a question. Do you speak Osirian? Because he's blabbing on in regular Osirian, not common.
No, I do not.
Okay. So his intent is obvious. I mean, you were looking for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, money or life. You know, is that my new wife? Oh, that kind of crap that you get from bullies in an alley. Anyway, you address them in Katapesh. You address them in common.
Common.
Okay. So as you were saying.
Gentlemen, please. We were just looking for the way. We're just taking some shortcuts. I was not aware that we were trespassing here. My deepest apologies. If you'll just let us leave, we won't be a bother.
Okay. Switching to common, and, you know, speaking my own language a lot more fluently than common, it comes out basically, no, you're on our turf, you know, pay up your coin or your lives.
Well, Kata, curious. Yes. How good are you in a fight?
Not so bad.
Well, it looks like we got a fight on our hands. And I will draw my rapier.
Okay.
Put it at them. How about you, sir?
Okay. Roll for initiative, guys. They've all readied actions that if you guys, you know, make a hostile move, that they'll do whatever plan A is.
Five.
What'd you get?
Five.
19.
Save me, football.
Save me.
You left me and I kept drinking.
Yeah. Roxy gets a 1. She's just growling and waiting for orders. And the bad guys get 13. So with the fall, you know, doing something at 19, drawing the rapier, and they're like, aha, that's our action. You know, they immediately close. But Fafal, to finish up, what do you do? Draw your sword and what?
Draw sword and run away.
Okay. You could climb a wall, acrobatics through a threatened square.
I'm running 30 feet back. Or 35 feet back.
There's two guys behind you. There's a big guy in front of you.
Oh, okay, okay.
Close you off. You now again, you could still use acrobatics to, you know, to go through a threatened square. You can use acrobatics at a DC plus 5 to go right through the guy, Prince of Persia, and flip right over him if you want. Bye. And just keep going. Right. They are literally that, you know, 15 feet away. So a double move could get you to them and over them in 15 feet on their, you know, type of way.
Yeah. Yeah, let's try for the acrobatics past the back two.
Okay. And you want to go around them or do you want to go through them?
I want to go around them.
Okay.
Possible, like, you know, Prince of Persia kind of like, you know,
yep.
Bounce up like the trash can up onto the wall over them.
Yep. Yep. So I need a climb check.
No,
or,
it's
acrobatics for like jumping.
19.
Okay. So you run right at them. And then you hard right up onto a crate, which almost collapses under your weight, but you're fleet of foot enough. Plant your foot in a divot in a wall, you know, push forward towards them, grab part of an awning, a bit of a swing, and try to sail past them. Now comes the acrobatics to like the DC for their CMD to get passed through their square, because now you're approaching that square.
Yeah.
So I need another one.
Oh, okay.
Well, one is for the move, one is to get past, because you're doing something schmancy. But at least the DC's lower.
Ah, 21.
So they seem surprised that you are so nimble in the night, and you're like scrolling across the wall, and they turn, and one is even like ready, kind of like takes a swipe at you, but they're just not, you know, they're just not reacting fast enough. The Trinity going over the wall while the cop is like loading bullets and doing that upward following arc. So the weapons swish at you, but they are too late and too far behind, and you come down on your feet behind them, and now you have more movement. Now, they are 15 feet away. You start a move. You do acrobatics. You get up on the wall. Acrobatics cuts your move in half. So your double move, as it were.
Yep.
To get beyond, right? They probably don't have combat reflexes and are probably taking that, you know, attack of opportunity, as it were. Anyway, because you've gone through them successfully, right, they don't get that attack of opportunity, or it's, you know, it's buggered. But they might get it from you, you know, as you try to leave the threatening squares. So can I have another acrobatics just to, like, you know, to burn that until you're 30 feet, you're 15 feet? Now, I'm assuming you're counting on, we could turn and close 15 feet, but if they realize you're not flanking the guys in the back and actually abandoning the girl and the cougar, then, yeah, they just might stay and...
Yeah. So I got a 10 for acrobatics.
Okay.
So as I land, I'll turn back, bow. Well, my dear, I do feel... truly, truly horrible about this. But, my gentlemen, best of luck, and have a great night. And with that, I'll sheath the rapier and walk off.
Okay.
You bastard.
So, he's allowed to move as he uses weapons or whatever, so he comes down and is stepping back, bowing, still drawing the distance, sheathing the sword, and is that proverbial, you know, another 10, 15 feet behind them. And it is now their go. And you're, like you said, what a bastard, disbelief, right? Cat's waiting for hours. One looks at you and looks like he's going to take a step, and his buddy just taps him on the shoulder and reminds, hey, you know, don't turn your back on the hunting cat, and we have the girl kind of thing. And they you know, they're kind of glancing back at you to see if this is a kind of trick, but they close on the druid and the cat. So one goes for the druid, one goes for the cat. And at the front, the big guy comes lumbering up and takes a heavy swing at you, Kaida. And with his impromptu club, does 4 points of damage with a hit. Second guy goes for your cat. My dice gets trapped. Again, impromptu weapon with a hit. And does... Oh, okay. 4 points of damage. So you take 4. Roxy takes 4. Now the big guy comes up. And I think we want to not damage the woman as much as, like, get rid of your predatory cat. So he's going to swing at the cat. Oh, natural 20 for a possible crit. I'm so sorry. For a bunch of nobody reference, they are really rolling hot. My mighty, spiky, nailed club, you know. My shaft, my spear shaft. This is the guy with his fake spear. He's actually going to roll a d8. Does 3 plus... is 5 and damage is 7 points to Roxy as well. That's them. It is your go, Kaida. These guys start going to town on you. One's beating you, several are beaten, stabbing the cat. Kaida.
Oh, man, I'm so angry.
You have your quarterstaff, you have your spells, you have your cat you can order to attack, you may not have everything else intact by the end of the night. What do you do?
Well, seeing as I'm not exactly on the most stable of feet, but I know my cat has not been drinking tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to order her to attack.
Which one? You're going to have the two of you turn and line up against the two that are attacking you, or have her watch your back and have her attack the big guy?
Yeah, I want her to attack the big guy.
Okay. So she goes after the big guy. You do a command. Now, I believe you can, as a druid, you get like a +4. You can take 10. Attack, you know. I'll have you roll anyway, just for fun, but it's pretty obvious she's just going to, like, you know,
yeah, I'll have her attack. Can I get her to use her claws?
Handle animal. And she has a bite and 2 claws for a full round, so if they're within melee range, she can do that.
Yep, I'll tell you what. How about we get Aiden to roll for the cat to speed things up, and so you're not hating the player. Once upon a time, we used to get Aiden to run the cat, so here you go.
Alright, first one is bite, second one and third one are claws.
Okay.
So bite is a 25 to hit.
Okay.
First claw is a natural 20 critical threat. So I'll roll to confirm that now. Does a 22 confirm?
Yes.
Okay, and then last one is a 14 to hit.
Okay, so 2 hits, 1's a crit. The cat does, is it d6 with the teeth and d4 with the claws?
D4 with the claws, d2 with the, or d4 with the bite, d2 with the claws.
Okay, I thought she took the feet that ups her damage.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I don't think we ever actually
plus
discussed
one
that.
And D2 plus one.
Okay, so there is the bite damage for 2.
Okay.
2d2 plus 2.
That seems pretty low, even for a small cougar.
It's the critical.
Okay. So 2 twos maximum, and 4, plus 2 6. For 6. So guy takes 8. Okay, so yeah, she jumps in there and misses with the first and gets a bit of a claw. She hits with both claws. She gets an attempt of a rake with the back feet come up, but unfortunately she didn't get that.
No, it was bite claw.
Yeah.
Third claw miss.
So unfortunately, no chance at a rake, but she does also, like, the teeth sink into his shoulder, and the guy just yowls in pain, goes staggering back as this cat just jumps on him. And then there's you.
I am going to swing at one of the guys in front of me.
Okay, there's the guy that hit you, and there's the guy that hit Roxy.
Which one's on my left?
The guy that hit Roxy.
Yeah, let's hit that guy.
Okay. So you got your d20 plus 1, and off you go.
9.
Now, I think your sheet is in here, so you should be able to possibly roll right off of...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just double-click on the word quarterstaff on your weapons, it'll do that.
You only need a single click.
Oh, that was me. I did it to show her, and then she...
I clicked it twice to click on the sheet and then click it.
Oh, okay.
Touchy sometimes. So I'll go right with the first one. Obviously the first one was 9. So it's just gonna...
No, you're learning. You're good. I like using the official stuff here. So after all that showing you how to do stuff, Ashley is an auxiliary player and unfortunately has not a lot of time with it. So going with your official character sheet roll here on roll 20, 14 does hit and you do 6 damage and you give him a solid smack right upside the temple and the guy, you know, takes a solid hit and goes staggering sideways. Next, we have round two, and Fafal. Looks so like they took her. Sorry, they took her as the bait. It looks like they're closing in on her.
Yep. But, I will spend my turn climbing up on the roof.
Okay, I was gonna say, but the cat is doing surprisingly well, or they are doing surprisingly well fighting back. They didn't look like they're gonna go down easy. So, climb checks, please.
Oh, okay, wait. Actually, am I still like lined up with the alley so I can see them?
Yeah, you're only 15 feet out. You're barely at the entrance.
Okay.
They are between you and the target, but...
That's fine. So I will actually draw my bow.
Okay.
And I'm going to...
They give the target a +4.
Well, actually, no. Let's do what I originally said. Let's do... let's climb.
Okay.
So.
Okay. These muck buildings are, you know, like 10, 15 feet. They're like, 'cause you're in like the bad part of town, so they're not very tall. These are not lavish hotels, so your climb speed is like 1/4, so I need 2 checks. Get up there 10 feet.
What's the DC for them?
It's not overly difficult. It's like 12 to 15 because there's the proposed old handholds and stuff, like there's awnings and stuff to grab.
All right. 14 on the first one.
Yeah.
I have a negative in my climb.
Oh, why is that? Are you not so strong?
Five.
Okay.
Oh, I'm actually fairly encumbered at the moment.
Oh, I see. Okay. If you fail, you make no progress. If you fail it by 5, like you did on your second thing, you fall. But you're only 5 feet up in the air. So you climb up and you slip and you fall, but you don't fall more than 10 feet, so you don't go prone. So you basically get halfway up this wall and get buggered and fall back down. And your two moves, as far as, unless you have a free move, your two major actions are burnt.
Right.
There are any free actions, otherwise we will move on.
I will drop some of my gear.
Okay.
To make myself light-loaded.
Yep. Drop pack. Big guy. You know, shrugs the cat off him. She slides and scrapes painfully down his back on all fours. And he spins his sort of stick staff spear over his head and comes straight down on Roxy and actually hits, but not a crit, for 1 point of damage. The cat sees it and kind of dances out of the way, but he manages to peg a paw and a yelp from Roxy. She takes another point. So now she's taken, was it 4, 7, and 1? What's her total? How much has she taken total?
She hit 12. She has 18 total HP.
Yeah, she's getting down there. The two guys discard the cat. The one that was attacking the cat takes a bad hit from you and turns his attention on you, and both of them have a go at you. The guy you hit, you know, really bad hit, bleeding, rethinking his life choices, but anger and adrenaline kicks in, and he just reflectively takes a swat at you with his club. Does a 14 hit you? Don't know. Can't hear you. You've muted on Zoom. There you go.
Sorry. I caught
AC. AC 15, so he comes really close, but you're ready for it, and he misses. I know he hit you last time because I like huge dice rolls. Second guy, still following up with his attack. 13, 14 again. Narrow misses. Now you're starting to figure these guys out. They're taking heavy swings at you in the night. You realize that these humans don't see very well in the dark. You have low light vision, and the alley is a little bit more partially lit to you than them. And it's helping you with your, you know, they can see. It's not like they're taking penalties, but they'll just say with the dice rolls that your reaction time and your sure-footed, your eyes are, you know, really aiding you and your ears in this situation. And now it's your turn, Kaida.
I want Roxy to keep attacking that big guy.
Okay.
Roxy, attack.
Roxy, attack. Go ahead, Mr. Aiden. What's Roxy got?
Oh. Right. Sorry.
Oh, you know what? I should have the sheet here. Maybe I can give you access and you can do the roll thing. Yes. Let's,
I don't know if the sheet is set up. That's the only concern.
I think so.
I think I can click them if you want. Bite and then claws.
Yeah, if you see them there, then click on them.
Here's bite.
Yep.
Caught it.
Those are swinging right.
Sorry. Wait, so what'd you get for bite?
19.
Yes, that hits for 3 damage. And claws?
14.
Yes. And second claws? 9. Right, so both claws hit. Is there a rake there? So she goes to town. She jumps back on him, sinks her teeth in his shoulder for 3 points, starts clawing. There's no rake on the character, eh?
No rake on the character.
Okay. Not that I was seeing when I was setting it up.
All right. So they may or may not have the rake attack. Might need a bigger cat.
I think that might be the case because it's a smaller cat, so we're treating it as having like weapon finesse.
Hmm. Anyway, Buddy takes a total. Where'd my thing go? Takes a total of 6, 7, 8 more points. and collapses under the wounds, screaming, and she's just rip, 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 and he falls right over Brone. And he's screaming and flailing. Your turn, Kaido. What do you do?
I am going to whack this same guy I hit last time.
Okay.
I am getting really, really angry, and I'd love to just deal with these guys and go find that bastard who left us. not natural 20. So 20?
Yeah, 20 hits.
Damage 4.
Yep. Okay. Smashing the lead guy of the two with damage, and again, he's really starting to rethink his life. Round 3, Fafal. Your trap isn't working so well. The druid and the cat have begun to turn the tide in their favor. The cat's down the biggest opponent, and she is bound and determined to smack trade hit for hit with the other two. They could still lose their lives. This could just be a slaughter and there's no one left. Great, no witnesses, but...
You did ask how well I could fight for fun.
Yeah. You're calling that over the thing. You want to know how well I can fight?
You asked if I could fight.
Here it is. Here it is. What do you do, Fafal?
Well, seeing the big dude go down, it's like, oh, fine. Apparently, I have to get my hands dirty. Mm-hmm. So I will draw my longbow and draw the string back and let an arrow fly.
Okay. She is on your left, which is the top of the right. She's attacking one guy, and she's turning to one guy that's taking damage. So you only have to shoot through one opponent to get to the cat. It's a long shot, but... they are 15, 20 feet away from you. Then there's like another 10 feet. So they're technically in point blank range if you have that feat.
I actually do not.
Okay. But the cat Roxy armor class goes up by 4 because there's somebody in the way and the cat gets a shield bonus. So.
I have 9. Seven, which misses.
Yeah. 17 becomes a 21. But, you know, maybe that guy will fall out of the way. All right.
They'll do the goddamn jobs.
Maybe. Hopefully. Anyway, you pull your bow, you take your shot. Any free actions?
No.
Okay. So.
Better run. I get my hands on you.
As a move action afterwards, I will study the cat.
Okay, you took a move action to pull your bow, and you took a stand, right?
You're so. Right. Never mind. You're good.
But you can start lining it up. Okay. The big guy doesn't seem to be doing much, or he's just rolling horribly. Oh, wow. You remember, I have hit you every time. And now I'm switching to the two morons, and I get 2 ones.
Oh, my God, Jeff, come on!
Okay, one guy almost drops his board and, almost hits the other guy because he just flails wide. And the other one literally drops his little stone dagger, you know, clubby thing in the dirt while they're flailing away at you. I guess they're not used to the pain and you know, someone fighting back or something. So that's them. Now Roxy. More clawing, more biting. Rip, rip, rip.
Sorry, I'm thinking. So I saw that arrow go past. Yes, I must have.
Well, you're facing, actually. You see Fafal standing out in the open light of the alley, and now he's drawn a bow and he's firing down the alley at you guys. Maybe he's helping. Maybe he's shooting them in the backs. You're not sure. The shot kind of went wide.
I don't know. I was raised not to trust people, and I trusted this person.
For 5 minutes. Yeah, I know.
Well, it was more like almost a full day, because you went drinking and you got drunk around him.
Yeah.
I feel like you're really asking for this, my dear.
You said you wouldn't do this sort of thing to me.
What do you do? These guys are still far from down and out. They're right in front of you. One's still armed. One's obviously probably going to scramble for his weapon. They are both between you and the guy that you want to kill.
I'm going to send Roxy to kill Fafal. Like, screw this. I can handle these two.
Okay, what about the guy behind you? He's down, but you haven't confirmed him dead. He's screaming and flailing. He's not in great shape. I'm just saying, like, did you want Roxy to finish him off?
I'm not thinking straight. I'm angry, and I'm still partially drunk.
Okay, sure. So you call Roxy off whatever's left of that guy, even though we might get back up and send him after. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you do for your...
I'm going to... tempted to double tap the guy on the ground. Just make sure he's out.
Okay.
But... no, I'm just going to whack the guy in front of me again. Really enjoying this so I can keep my eye on what's going on in front of me.
Yep.
And I'm not thinking straight here.
No, that's fine.
So...
city rage. Road rage. Overtakes the character.
Do you need any special, like, acrobatics to get past these two?
We'll get to that. We'll do you first, right, and then we'll get to see what Super Cat does.
Sorry if that rolled twice.
I will take a command animal. Like, I will take a handle animal, because you're calling her off. You're telling her to go through an obvious opponent to get to a specific opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So quarterstaff is 18 for 7.
Okay. You round, wheel, up high, down low, and come right down, driving the man's collarbone into the side of his neck. And he goes down, collapses on his knees, and then face first in the dirt, gurgling up blood.
Excellent.
That's you. And Roxy.
Handle animal.
Yep. You get a plus 4. Yep. Yep.
So how do I?
Because there's attack, and then there's like attacking specific targets. If you just tell her attack, she'd be like, choo choo, I am. He's delicious, you know. It's like, no, attack this guy, you know, over here. So,
sorry, I'm not sure how to get.
Oh,
this.
So the attack, is like you can point at a particular creature that you wish the animal to attack, and it will comply. Fable.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
I don't need handle animal.
Humor me.
Okay.
But... she's engorged in bloodlust. You know, she's having a really good time, and you're like, Roxy, Roxy.
I'm not sure how to this handle animal. No, it's plus 4 when using Roxy. So what's that? 7.
Okay. 7?
I rolled a 1.
Yeah. What's the base DC on something
DC
like
that? 10 to handle an animal.
Okay, so you're trying to call her off, but she's just enjoying this. She seems bound and determined to finish this guy this round. So she coup de grace him. Like, she just starts ripping his throat out and just getting covered. Just having a good old gory time. You know, you're calling and you're calling. Hey, hey, hey.
You really need to work on your training. We got into this trouble.
Yeah, round 4. Well, like I said, she's not thinking straight. The bloodlust has taken her. The guy's down, you know, till she's sure that she's got that windpipe. She's going to finish, you know. I'm coming, ma. Crunch. Round 4. Oh, no. Yeah. 4 and Fafal.
Yep. So, question. The guy... that she, so now that one dude dropped, do I have a straight line of sight on the...
No, she dropped the guy in front of her. So now she's on the left blocking, and the other guy that's basically picking up his dagger.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to shoot for the cat.
Okay, now you said something about studying, moving.
Yes, so as a move action as a slayer, I can study a target, which gives me a bunch of skill bonuses to them, and a plus 1 on attack and damage rolls.
So do you want to do that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, we had Roxy at, what, 12 damage? She's got 6 points left out of 18?
Yep.
And Kaida, how much damage have you taken?
I am at 6.
Okay.
Oh, that's a 23.
Ooh. Just waiting for the guy to bend over, and he reaches long and practically goes, like, really low to get his dagger, and he's, like, jutting, scrambling towards the wall so that she doesn't take advantage. Anyway, he stupidly bends down right in front of you, Kaida, provoking attack of opportunity, if you want it.
Sure. Just my quarterstaff again?
Oh, sorry. No, that will happen in a moment. Sorry. He's reaching down. We'll say that opens up the shot, and you strike true with
that's
1 point. Shoot
the
cat.
It's not even composite. Ping. It's D8, and then I get the additional plus 1. So.
Okay, so... pegging Roxy in the haunch. A big scrape. No, haunchy. Sorry. Pegging Roxy in the haunch. This cat rolls around. Oh, you've got its attention now. Now it's the bad guy's go. One guy on his go now goes for his dagger, Kaida, provoking attack of opportunity foolishly. If you want to take a whack at him.
Why not?
Okay.
Again, which I apologize. What is that?
Yep. Oh, any weapon you want. You've got other weapons, you got spells. What do you want to do?
8.
Okay. Like you said, he scrambles towards the wall to avoid, and you swish wide and miss. The other two are lying on the ground. They don't seem to be attacking at the moment. And that guy is scooping up his dagger. So, a move action to... Now, it's a tight alley, 5-10 feet square type of thing. He hasn't, like, moved off anywhere. I'm just saying he's rolling around the square. Ha-ha, that's why you missed me. Scoops up his dagger, club thing. And, again, since you're coming after him, tries to retaliate with a natural 1. Jeez, man. His dice are going cold fast and confirmed. So he takes a swing at you or whatever, and you've got your staff up, and he brings it down in the night. Blood rushing from that first head wound into his eyes, and he comes down and just kind of wrist unlocks it and drops it in front of you as he misses. And Now it's your actual turn, Kaida, because earlier was the attack of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guys went provoking. Now it's your actual turn.
Okay. I'm going to cast Flare.
Okay.
Reach in.
That here. Will provoke unless you cast defensively.
Well, he doesn't have a weapon in his hand.
I can punch her.
You can try, yeah.
I may have unarmed strike, I'm just saying. Anyway.
You might have better luck.
But no, Aiden has a point. If you want to play the odds, just cast and risk him taking a swing or something if he can. If you want to try and risk some dice, you got to roll defense.
5 foot step back. Does that exist?
Yes, it does. Oh, it's such a cheese. But yeah. Take a 5 foot step back.
5 foot, and I just need to.
Yes.
I'm going to cast Flare on Football.
Okay.
I want to dazzle him.
Okay.
Sorry.
What's the range on that?
25 feet.
Yeah, he's within 25 feet.
And everything's loaded.
Because I am going to cap on the fact that you barely got that 15 feet past and then decided to start climbing walls and stuff instead of, like, leaving. So.
Sorry, what do I need to? It's just a
d20? I mean, if we really want to be picky, you can 5 foot step in any direction, so. No, actually, no, that wouldn't work. You'd be stepping towards the bad guy. Five. Oh, is Flare an attack roll or just a reflex save for him?
It's a reflex.
Reflex save. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a fortitude save.
Okay. So, sorry, unless it says you need to, like, roll 20 to attack with that spell, it's all on Fafal.
Yep.
And? What'd you get?
I got a fortitude save of 18.
Okay. Her hand glows brightly. You don't have spellcraft, but something bad is coming your way. Light shoot towards you, and just reflectively, you turn your head and squint. And the wash of flare goes over you, but enough you blink rapidly the spots away and you are not, you know, affected as she had hoped. And now it's your go for fall.
Don't I get Roxy?
Oh, right. Command Roxy.
Roxy, attack the fall.
Go, Roxy, go.
Go.
Okay. Great. I have...
Well, it has to be a handle animal check first.
Well, like I said, she wanted to coup de grâce. Now she knows it's dead, and something shot me in the ass. So I'm a little bit more partial to pay attention. But yeah, we will take that handle animal.
Handle animal.
Point and shoot the cat. Ch-ch-ch.
Yeah, for the love of God, right?
Cock the cougar. And release.
16 plus 4, 20.
Okay. See that guy with the bow? See how you have an arrow sticking out of your haunch? Do the math, Roxy, and off she jets. So she goes. Right? And...
we have a bite of 22.
Oh, hang on. Wait, hang on. Got to blow through the dude. I need a combat maneuver. I need an acrobatic check from Roxy. Yeah, you just find her skills.
Oh, there we go. 11.
Okay. She tries to basically just dart between you. Oh, she can go through friendlies for free. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to go around that guy. She's actually allowed to go around your square friendlies for free. So she goes wide. And she doesn't need that. I know
it would provoke if he has improved unarmed strike.
Yeah, I was being a dick. No, you were right, Aiden. He doesn't. I tried. Well, you can't have your thug and eat him too. But he did. That's why he didn't like provoke on her. So he's trying. He's trying for all the stops here. Anyway, this cat runs. He's got a 50-foot move. This cat, it runs you down, dude. And about those claw rolls, what do we get?
The bite was 22. Okay. Claws are 25 and 20.
Now,
it only gets one attack.
Right. Oh, it can only unload when it's adjacent.
That's right.
So it runs at him and leads with the bite. 22, does that hit you, Fafal?
Yeah, it does.
She runs up and kind of skitters to a halt and opens wide and just bites you right in the upper thigh for 2 points of damage. Fafal takes 2 points.
Are never easy, are they?
Really, really
You should have asked for more gold.
I should have hired some people instead of relying on the street.
This if looks you bad.
To attack me.
Yeah.
You should have gotten my guard down more.
Oh, he's not a total bastard. He's not going to woo you. At least he's like, you know, he led you here. Somebody else does the dirty work, doesn't want to get his hands dirty, and he apologized before he abandoned you. I mean, it's gentlemanly a slayer, I think. You know, he didn't like try to have his way with you and then drug you. Apothecary.
I'm never. Gonna
anybody again. If you live, I just don't know who's somebody's gonna die tonight.
So
I'm out of NPCs now. It's PvP. Who's it gonna be? Old man Arif, if you were to bet hard gold the fate of Pharasma, you know, whose odds are you liking? Two very wounded players, a cat and a druid, very heavily wounded, but there's two against one, or a lightly chewed upon Fafal with many tricks up his sleeve. Who's your money on?
Well, I've read certain stories of fights in the gladiator pits and things like that, and often numbers win, regardless of how defeated or beaten each side looks. I would say that the young archer there is in a dangerous position and will most likely flee if he values his life.
Hmm. But if you abandon your target now, Fafal, those cult dudes, they ain't going to pay you. They're going to come find you. Anyway, I believe it's Fafal's turn.
Yes, it is. Well,
what do you do?
Drop the longbow. Draw the rapier.
There we go.
Stab this pussy.
Oh, jeez.
19 to hit.
Yeah, that hits the kitty cat. Damage. Right. This cat has 6 points, right?
Four.
That's four?
I did two with the arrow.
Oh, that's right. It's down to four. Yeah.
All right.
Down to four.
I'm swinging D6 plus two.
There we go.
Rolling the dice. Six damage.
Six. Cougar. She stabs the cougar. Well, looks at you with painful eyes, Mom, and slumps to the ground at -2 and begins to bleed out. I have no more NPCs. Kaida.
No! You're dead.
Okay, hang on a second. Aiden, it's still your turn. Oh, no, you had to pull... Sorry, you dropped the bow for free, you pulled the weapon, you stabbed, now you're standing over the cat yeah. body. It's...
Just trying to wipe my lip, just...
Kaida.
Things had to be done.
Kaida, what do you
Why?
Do?
I'm so torn, I just want to tear your throat out with my bare hands.
Do you have a spell that can reach him? It would take a double move to reach him. Because he's more... He's within 30 feet. You could get to him and take a swing while your cat bleeds out at your feet. You could run to the cat and aid, but you might leave yourself vulnerable to this prick and his pricky sword. What do you do? What do you do? Cat speak with animals, so you can... Mommy.
My heart is breaking.
I think you should go all Willow and get on top of a semi-truck and, you know, I bring you pain, but that's just me.
I don't really have anything that I can... Seriously.
What do you got?
Not much.
Do you have any healing? Can you heal the cat?
I can stabilize and I can heal her.
Yeah, I mean, you might take some damage yourself and end up dead, but you could possibly get the cat in the feet, who knows? Or you could just, you know, take care of the threat in a rage. This thing's like a child to you. You run it down in rage and start whacking at the little blue man bad. You have spells? Yeah. What do you got? So many choices for vengeance. Do we help? Do we heal? What do you do?
Can I... I'm going to stabilize Roxy.
Okay. So you run up.
I can do it from 25 feet.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to close the distance anyway? Or do you want to do it from back here?
Can I... So casting is one full move.
Casting is a standard action, then you could close the distance and be standing over the cat. Your turn is ended, but then he might think twice about hurting the cat again because you're right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I'll stabilize and run the rest of
it. So you... Let's have your special nature spell prayer. Calling upon nature?
Yeah, just please hear me and just bring her to a point where I can save her later. I don't have any special words. My heart is breaking. Just save her to that point so I can save her later. Just make her okay.
Call upon the gods of nature.
Please, Bessette, I know, you know, cats are your sacred animal. Please.
Oh, you're calling upon the Osirian goddess of cats? Can I have an ultra religion check, please? Now, you can't fail this. The player dug that up, but... 20? Oh, not only do you call upon Bessette, you actually know some sort of prayer, you know, that the clergy use.
Yeah.
Perhaps your travels here and people, you know, some strange priest is all nodding, going, oh, what a pretty kitty, you know, she's sacred here. Oh, really? Look at that. Roxy, you're sacred. Cat looks very pleased. You learn some, you know, you learn about the goddess, some quick prayers, and now you call upon, hey, I'm in Bessette's backyard. Bessette, stabilize my cat.
Yes.
Oh, hope it works. Got to move left, free actions. What do you do?
I'm going to move up. Okay. As close as I can get.
Yeah, you can move like right beside, right over. And now it's Fafal's turn.
All right, so does she threaten me?
She is adjacent,
stop
yeah.
10 feet away. Yeah, no.
Do you
I'm
stop?
On the other side of the cat.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there's you, the cat, and then on the other side, the druid's still cautious. So she's not adjacent to you.
I'm going to spin my rapier point it straight down, sink it into the cat's neck.
Oh.
Coup de grace.
Oh. Oh, God. He spends
Dude, that's cold.
He spends a full round action and finishes off your cat right in front of you. Plants the rapier, ketchup bottles that sucker in there, and then there's that big lever twist to the left. Yoink!
8 damage.
It's helpless. You automatically... Is it double crit, or does it just automatically
kill? It's automatic double crit. Or it's automatic crit, which on rapiers is just double damage. And then they have to make a fortitude save against... Shoot, I don't remember.
It's I think it's DC 15 plus damage dealt.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So that would be like 23?
Yeah.
Where's Roxy? Do you want me to roll for you? Or do you want to roll? You want to roll, Roxy?
You roll.
It's a fall.
My heart is hurting.
Fall, do you have sneak?
No.
Okay.
Slayer's getting it at second level, man.
Ashley, pull up the cougar. Under armor class and hit points, you'll see fort. Just click on the fort.
It's 10 plus damage dealt, not 15.
Okay. 10 plus damage dealt is 18. This cat has a plus 4 fortitude. What did she get, Ashley? What?
16.
Oh! See, I don't want to be responsible for the cat. No! Roxy's dead.
As I sink the blade into its neck and yank it out, I really hate doing this. I hate getting my hands dirty. I really wish you two would have just died.
So I sink to my knees. I can't even you and place my hands on her, and I'm shaking. And why? Why would you do this? She did nothing to you. Not a thing. What is wrong with you?
Well, my dear, when the coin pays well enough, you do what you need to. It was not my choice. Well, I guess technically it was to take the contract. But the coin was good enough. The target was the cat. I, again, don't like getting my hands dirty with this, but things needed to be done. I didn't ask why. I don't ask why. It's not in my description of my job. I'm sorry, but I ain't that sorry.
I'm horrible to tell you this, Kaida. He wasn't after your life or just kill the two of you and take money or whatever. Somebody hired the Slayer to kill Roxy. It is unbelievable for you to fathom why. What do you do?
Slowly standing, not yet looking at Fafal. My best friend, the only creature that has understood me. You took money to kill a cat? How lowly a creature you are to kill an innocent creature like this. And looking at him, I hope Beset hears me when I beseech.
Oh, can I have a religion check, please?
Come on, religion. 20.
Oh my God, you actually know how to get Beset's attention with certain words and prayers. A rather dark one, if you catch my drift. What do you do?
Beset, this creature, your sacred animal, was slain at the hands of this vile creature, and I beseech you to curse him and find him and make him pay, make him feel everything I feel, make him suffer for the rest of his time, and take my life in place of hers. I am a willing person. I will give you my soul to give her her life back. Please, I beg of you to hear me.
Oh, shit. You're going to kill yourself as payment? So Beset cashes in on his ass? Yep. Oh, Fafal, this is some whack shit. I like this. I like this a lot. There's a moment of dreadful silence. And Fafal, you almost think, this shit might work. But the night goes on. A dreadful moment passes and nothing happens but a crying elf in front of you.
At that point, well, you know what they say. No witnesses. And I will swing my rapier at her.
I'm not even going to fight back.
Okay. You just head hung down, looking at the cat, hoping the goddess will,
Do I get the coup de grace then?
She doesn't have a lot of hit points, but if she doesn't fight back, then
I'm pretty much on my knees anyways.
Yeah.
You slap me with the back of your hand and probably kill me.
11 damage.
Yeah. You run her through. She, you know, agonizingly falls right over top of her cougar and begins to bleed out on the cat. Fafal, what do you do?
Draw back, sink it in again.
Okay. Ooh. Now the coup de grace.
Another 8 damage.
She lets you take her life. She doesn't fight back in grief and misery. And then you kick around a little longer and do the old, I don't even want to gesture that with the ketchup bottle again, and finish her off. There are no witnesses. You are still on the edge of an alley in a bad part of town. I mean, you don't even have to like move bodies or whatever. You look
up. I scrummage for coin. I'll loot the body.
Okay. What do you got on you? Kata kneels down, starts searching the body, taking the round, taking the time.
Sorry, I'm looking to see if I have any money.
Well, we can say if, you know, as long as he's thorough, some little time goes by and he takes, you know, whatever gear or fine. You know, he's looking to see if there's anything useful in your gear, any coin, right?
Yeah.
And you hear something fall as the quick tentative, you got to get out of here soon, you know, minutes go by. You hear something move over by that crate that you smashed. Maybe a rat, maybe something. You look over, you don't see anything. You go back to your rifling through the druid's body. Then you hear something out. And then you hear something up high. And you look up, and you are being regarded by two small, reflective green in the pale moonlight eyes. Two little ears in a female form. A feline form. A cat. What do you do?
Well, I'll look at it, see it's a cat.
Yep.
Then just...
It's chilling for a moment, considering what the druid just said, but it's just a cat.
Yeah. Finish up on the druid, go to the goons.
Okay. You bring check your head... You come to, you tilt your head down to look at the druid to go through a thing, and you see something else. You see something coming out of that crate. You see two cats down the alley. You hear a strange sort of hiss-like growl. You look behind you. You see cats on the far side of the street coming out of other alleys. 1, 10.
Oh, okay. At that point, I start seeing more than like 3 or 4 cats. Like,
yeah.
Well, magic does exist. There are gods. I might have done goofed. Mm. Well, I will take this as a farewell, adios, my job's done, okay. And run. Yeah, my ass is gone.
Sorry.
Literally like the wind. Poof.
The scene stays. The cats do not give chase. They close the camera. The scene pulls up looking down, and you see a circle 5 deep of cats in a... oblong circle, all slowly closing in on the cougar and the half-elf. The cats feast. Alley cats, house cats, wild cats, some domesticated, all come. They gorge and all devour till there is nothing left. All you hear on the wind, as far as you might run, Aiden, is a strange hissing howl. If a druid in the area would cast Speak with Animals, they would hear thus.
We hear you, daughter of nature. He has taken one of our own, and we are offended. So long as his feet touch the sand, we will hunt.